We've been studying in the book of Acts. When I first started this, I thought it'd be two or three lessons and that would be the end of it. We're on number seven and we're just in chapter six. We've got a long ways to go. There's a lot of meat here. We've been studying and looking at the early church. I believe the first one we started out with was five things that a spirit-filled church does, and we talked for several weeks about prayer and how to pray. And this week we're going to be in chapter 6, mostly in the book of Acts, and we're going to be talking about growing pains, and that was one of the things that they experienced here in this early church when they were growing rapidly. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we get into His Word. Father, we just thank You and just give You praise this morning, Lord. Thank You for everything that You have done for us and continue to do, Lord. And Father, we just take this time to acknowledge Your power and Your presence in our lives, Lord. And I pray that this morning, Lord, that as we search Your Scriptures and look into Your Word, Lord, that You would open our hearts, Lord, and our minds to things, Lord, in these Scriptures, Lord, that You would have us to see. Father, just use me and guide me through this passage of Scripture, Lord. And may we be a church, Lord, that not only is just sitting here, Lord, but is a ministry and is active and involved in where You would have us to be, Lord. May we each and one of us, Lord, have a ministry and have a candle to burn for You, Lord, in Christ's holy name. Amen. When we were singing that song earlier about the candles, just made me want to grab out the old Bic lighter and everybody stand up and hold the Bic lighter up. Growing pains. You know, I think this is something that we have experienced here in growing. There's also some pains that have came along with it. You know, I think that's one thing you're going to realize in studying this morning is your number one, that you're needed. Number one would be that you have a ministry. And number two is that you're needed. We're looking back and just we've been tracing this, the history of this early church, and there were three things that stand out when you start reading these passages of Scripture from the very beginning there in the book of Acts in chapter 1, that this church was, they were going and they were growing, but they were also glowing. They had a glow about them. They were candles. They were burning their light before the world, and they became contagious, because people seen that there was something different about them. As you read and study through these books of Acts, it reveals how rapidly they were growing. And real briefly, we're going to look at just a few of them in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So at the time of Pentecost, there were 3,000. It's in verse 47, and they says they were praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So it starts out with 3,000, then it says that they were added daily. And even though persecution had broken out against the church, the people of Christ, it did not stop the growth of the church. Persecution could not stop it. And then it gives us another number in chapter 4, verse 4. It says, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So they went from 3,000 and says added daily, and then up to 5,000. If you do the math on this, they could have possibly been as many as 20,000. And chapter 5, verse 14, then tells us talks about the multitudes of men and women. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. You know, I think this is very interesting when you read and study passages of Scripture, how it talks about the multitudes. You know, it where we or have a tendency to count numbers. We want to know how many's there, how many got saved, how many got baptized, where to them that they just used the word multitudes. And I thought that was interesting upon reading that. And you stop and think about this. God uses multiplication. We've shared and talked about this on Sunday night, right? You remember? Where you're a witness, and your witness is when people see God working in your life, they see that there's something going on, there's something different, and they may ask you about it, and you share with them what God has done for you. And in so doing, they accept Christ, and then God starts working in their life, and then someone sees God doing things in their life, and it goes on and on and on. It's multiplication. Now, look what happens here in chapter 6 of verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. This was an exciting time for the church. God's power was at work in people's lives, and they were feeling it. And as a result, the church was being multiplied. But then all of a sudden, look what happened. There's a problem. It says there arose a murmuring. Why did this take place? You know, you can ask yourself, you know, the power of God was at work in people's lives, and people could see it. People were being saved. They were being brought to Christ, and yet there this problem was. Why? Satan had tried persecution. It didn't slow it down. Didn't stop it. He even tried corruption in the church. But now he's trying distraction. He's trying to get the church to start fighting, and there's envy and misunderstanding. And that's where most problems come in, no matter where it's in the church, where it's in your relationship, or on the job. It is misunderstandings, and then it is envy with one another. Now, I'm going to back up, and we're going to read in Acts chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to look at a few things that we can learn. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Verse 3, Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business. Verse 4, But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now let's stop right there and let's look at a few things right here. First of all, one thing that we can learn about problems in the church, of the four different things in solving problems, the first one would be discernment. It talks about in verse 1 there, it brings out what the problem was. And in this Jewish society, the ones that were in most need, the scriptures say, were what? Widows and orphans. But the problem came about as Satan was trying to stir up division in the church. But there was also a natural division here, and I believe it's important that you see this. There were Jews that were, they were all Jews, but there were different ones. There were some that were born in Palestine, and some that were Greek-speaking that were born outside of Palestine. Now, these widows, apparently they were not getting, when the daily distribution took place, they were not getting the same amount of food as the other women were getting. So what happens here, they start complaining, but they didn't go to the people that they needed to go to complain. They started going amongst themselves and complaining to each other. You know, when you stop and think about this, the growth that was taking place and how quickly things were happening and growing, it would be very easy for something like this to fall through the cracks. You agree with that? Well, you know, it is growing so fast, there is problems that are rising that you wouldn't even have thought about. So they start murmuring, or they start complaining, and they start complaining amongst themselves. The second thing in handling a problem within the church would be decisiveness. You know, there are several things that they could have done that they didn't do. They could have just ignored it, hoping that it would go away, that the problem would go away. They could have ignored it. I read a little story about these college-age boys. There was like four of them sharing a room, and they stole this other mascot from this other college, and it happened to be a goat. And they were trying to figure out where they were going to hide the goat at, and they finally decided they would slip it up in their college dorm room and put it there. And one of them said, "Well, what about the smell?" And one of the young men spoke up and said, well, that goat, he'll just have to get used to it." You know, there's times I think our natural instinct just wants to ignore it. These boys, they wanted to ignore the smell of their dorm room, and there's lots of times in our lives, and especially in our church life, there's things that come about that we just want to ignore and think that they're going to go away. They could have had resentment. They could have taken that murmuring, that complaining, they could have taken it personally and as a result reacted with resentment. And I think as lots of times as Christians, that's what we do as church members. When somebody comes to us with a problem, we automatically take it personally. The third thing that they could have done that they didn't do, excuse me, they could have overreacted. How many times have we overreacted to situations in our own lives, not only in our family life, but in our jobs, in our families, in our church family? There's lots of times that we overreact to things, and we wind up doing more harm than good in overreacting. What they did do, they faced the problem head on. I thought this was very interesting after you really get to reading and studying this and looking at it. And every problem that comes up in a church, as a body of Christ, as believers, it gives us an opportunity to do three things. And number one, to examine the effectiveness of our ministry. It gives us an opportunity to examine the effectiveness of our ministry. The second thing, it gives us an opportunity to exercise our faith, not only in the Lord, but in each other as a body of Christ. And it gives us an opportunity to express love, not only for Christ, but for each other. And when we're working through our problems and working out our problems as a church, it gives us the opportunity to express our love. You know, and people outside of the church can see, and they're the first ones to see it, whether you're getting along and you're working through things or not. I believe they realize that you're going to have problems, but they're watching to see how you're going to work through those problems. So you got the three E's: examine, exercise, and express. We've been talking about the four things of solving problems. The first one was discernment. The second one was decisiveness, being able to make a decision and react to it. And the third one was delegation, and that's one thing they did here. They didn't. They could have resented it. They could have overreacted. They could have ignored it, but they did not. They delegated people to take care of the problem. Verse 4 and 5 says, "But we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. If you look back, and we're going to look at verse 2 there, and then again in verse 4. It says, "Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should," what? "Leave the word of God and serve tables." And see, I want to point out one very important thing here. They wasn't thinking like they were too good to wait on tables and to serve tables. That wasn't the idea here. The idea here is that they realized the call of God on their life. They knew that the call of God on their lives was not to be serving food, to be handing out to the widows. Their call on their lives was to preach the word of God. But look what else it is in verse 4, ourselves continually to prayer. They realized that those two went together, and they was very important, and that was the call of God on their lives, to be continually in the word and continually in prayer. So instead of trying to blame others or trying to ignore it or overreact, they delegated people. It's in verse 3, says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." Three qualifications there of men that they picked. They were men of good reputation. Or in other words, they were men of character. They were men of spiritual standing. It said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were men of intelligence. In other words, they were full of wisdom. So they immediately delegated these people, and it gives a list of names here. And I thought this is very important that when you look at those names, those are Grecian names. And that was the problem, that there was a murmuring of in verse 1 of the Grecians. So they picked Grecian men to take care of this problem. And you stop and think about that makes a lot of sense. So the fourth thing that they learned in handling this problem, that there were dividends. There were results of the way they handled this problem. And verse 7, it tells us, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." There was even priests, even religious people that became obedient to the faith. They accepted Christ as their personal Savior. So the results are the dividends of them taking care of the problem the way it should have been. There was unity was restored. Verse 5 says that the saying pleased the whole multitude. So their unity of the body of Christ was restored. And in so doing, all the gifts of the body of Christ were being used. You see, you need to realize how important you are in the body of Christ. If you're not here, and if you're not functioning the way you should be, the body of Christ is hurting. You're not only hurting yourself, but you're hurting the ministry. Because each one of you have a ministry here this morning. Each one of you, the Scripture tells us that you are a minister. You are a minister to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not here and doing your part, you're hurting the body of Christ. So There needs to be unity, and with this unity came the gifts of each one of them back together. And what happens as a result of that, verse 7 tells us the word of God increased. The word of God was said. And also in verse 7 it tells us, and the number of the disciples was what? Multiplied. The disciples were multiplied. So you have discernment, you have decisiveness, you got to be able to make a decision to delegate people in the church and the body of Christ when there's a problem. They know who to go to, and as a result there's dividends of the results of a body of Christ functioning the way it should be. And I want to challenge you this morning. Used to, I believe it was 20% of the people did most of the work of the body of Christ. And nowadays it's even below that. I believe it's down to like, was it 14% or maybe even lower than that the people and do the work, the ministry that needs to be done. To be an effective body of Christ, the experts say, and I'm not the expert by no means, but the experts say that it takes 60% of the people to do the work of a functioning body of Christ. And if it's not, then it's not doing what God wants it to do, what it's capable of doing through the power of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you this morning, you know, maybe you've been praying for revival in this church. You know, we've experienced lots of growth here on Sunday morning. You know, and I've been using 30, 40 pieces of paper when I've been typing up my study on Sunday night. You know, and we're using about less than half of that on Sunday night. You know, and I don't understand that. I cannot comprehend that where people, they want a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. They want to be part of the body of Christ, but they don't want to get involved and be a minister of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you this morning that if you're praying for revival for this church, to pray first and foremost that revival would start in your own heart. You hear me? Because if it's not in your own heart, then you don't really want revival. Because you're shrugging that responsibility off on someone else. And I'm not condemning nobody here this morning. Don't take me wrong. Because I've been right there. I've come in and sat through a Sunday morning service and got up and left feeling good about myself. And I went back home, went through the rest of my work week not thinking a thing about God. You know, that was back when I was just playing church. You see, there's one thing that's different this time. That I realized the call of God on my life, not just as a pastor, as a preacher, not just as a minister of the Word of God, but as a someone that has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Something that's true, something that's real, something that's just not about coming in here and sitting down and going to church, but something that is personal every day of my life. You see, it's not just about church, it's just not about these walls, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's about a walking with Him every day. It's about walking with Him when you're with your wife, when you're with your kids, when you're on the job. It's not about separation, but about relationship. Amen? I encourage you as a body of Christ to get involved in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in my ministry, not in the ministry of the Western Grove Bible Church, but in your ministry. You stop and think about that. The God of this universe called you personally, to be involved with Him to help share His message. You know, to me, that is awesome when you stop and think about that. the very God that hung the moon and made the stars, that created everything around you, called you. You have a special purpose in this life, and you're special to Him. What did we talk about in Sunday school class? Said, forget about your past. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. Get under God's grace. Live under God's grace. Don't hang on to the past. He shed His blood to cover that, to take care of that once and for all. Step out in a relationship with Him and step out into the ministry that He has for you. Amen.